So I'm going to talk about the black-white disparities in HIV mortality in 13 major cities in the United States from 1990 to 2009. Again, I'm from the Sinai Urban Health Institute in Chicago, very close to here. I have no relationships to disclose right now. So I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of HIV mortality in the United States, and this is a graph that shows the mortality rates for both blacks and whites, men and women. So the men, let's see, I have to look at them. The men are in the blue bars, and the women are in the pinkish looking bars. They look purple for you guys, I think. And you can see the black mortality rate in the United States is quite high in comparison to the other genders and races shown here. So what that equates to for, if you just look at the blue bars alone, for the black men, the disparity at the first time point in 1990 to 1994, the disparity equaled 3.9, which means that black men were 3.9 times more likely in that time period to die from HIV. And then when you look at the women, which is much lower, you'll see that, the fourth time point, the disparity actually increased to almost 10, meaning black men were 10 times more likely to die from HIV compared to white men. So now looking at the women, you can see from the time one, or the T1, that the disparity was actually quite high. It was 14 times higher in black women compared to white women, and then it jumped up to almost 21, or a little over 21, so the disparity meant that white women, or black women, were 21 more times more likely to die from HIV in that time period. We know that we can treat HIV. You can see from the blue bar, that's the very big one, is the survival gains from ART, which is antiretroviral therapy. So we know that there's a really effective treatment. And what that is showing that there's 160-month gain in life expectancy or life survival gain from people who are on or taking ART. And that equates to 13 additional years of life. So that's a big improvement. And if you can see some of these other treatments that are also quite good and well-established, it's a very, very good treatment, and it's very, very effective. We just have to get people on it in order to save their life. So despite the overwhelming effectiveness of ART, HIV still remains one of the leading causes of death among blacks in the United States, but it's not as much among whites. So it ranks 13th for blacks, and it's higher in some subgroups for age, whereas for the white population, it ranks 25th. There are also higher diagnoses and prevalence rates for both HIV and AIDS among blacks compared to whites. And this all sort of matters because one of the overarching goals for the United States for the National HIV and AIDS Prevention Strategy is to reduce HIV mortality disparities. Some of the factors that might be contributing to the disparities nationally and even locally is that about 14% of the U.S. population who are positive don't know their status. So there's a lot of people kind of walking around not knowing that they have HIV, and then they're not taking the precautions because they don't know they're positive. But you also can't treat people if they don't know their status, so we need to screen more. What happens without screening is it leads to late diagnosis, which means they're diagnosed at AIDS at the first test, or it develops into AIDS fairly quickly after the diagnosis. But there has also been kind of a historical targeted messaging campaign for prevention, and it's kind of targeting the risk groups rather than the behaviors that are kind of leading to HIV diagnoses. So it could leave out people who might perceive themselves at less risk because they're not kind of part of that campaign. And then the other thing is that ART is generally prescribed at later stages in the disease for blacks. So now the HIV world, the infectious disease world, is starting to shift to prescribing it very early in the course of the disease. You don't need to wait for certain biological blood levels to change. But we're seeing that the black population is actually receiving ART at later stages, which could also mean that there's a higher likelihood for death from the disease. So what we did was we selected 13 major U.S. cities, the top five most populous cities, Chicago, L.A., New York, Philadelphia, and Houston, and then we selected eight additional cities that had the highest prevalence of HIV at the most recent time point. And those were Baltimore, Atlanta, Baton Rouge, Jackson, Mississippi, D.C., D.C., Baton Rouge, New Orleans, I think I got them all right. Atlanta, yeah, missed that one. And we used the National Center for Health Statistics for those time periods, and we looked at the primary cause of death on the death certificates. So in the first time, 1990 to 99, we used ICD-9 codes, and 2000 to 2009, we switched to the ICD-10 codes, and we were able to adjust for that difference in coding. We also looked at non-Hispanic black and non-Hispanic white population data from the U.S. Census. So they were derived at the 1990, 2000, and 2010 census years. And then between the census years, we extrapolated or interpolated the data using linear interpolation. So just some kind of miscellaneous things about the rates. We did account for Hispanic ethnicity in each race category. We adjusted to the U.S. 2000 standard population, and we calculated five-year annual average rates for those time periods. I won't go through all those numbers. And we used age-specific comparability ratios to compare rates across all time points. And if any city or any race or gender category had less than 20 deaths, they were excluded. So I'm going to talk about that in a second. We did have to exclude some cities. So the presentation is mainly on the rates and the rate ratios. So we calculated the rate ratio to determine the level of disparity. What that means is we divided the black death rate divided by the white rate and just looked at that rate ratio that came about from that. We calculated confidence intervals using the Taylor series expansion technique, and statistical significance was determined if the 95% confidence interval did not contain one. So these are the cities we had to exclude. Miami, as you saw from the first presenter, is a very unique place. The death rates were very high in comparison to all the other cities. I can't explain it, so rather than trying to explain it, I just excluded them for this presentation. And Baton Rouge and Jackson did not have enough deaths for the white population to generate reliable rates, so they were excluded as well. So now I'm going to show a series of the 10 cities that remained and the mortality rates graphs, and these are just blacks compared to whites. They're all going to look very similar. The axes are the same, so you'll be able to look at them across and be able to see, you know, they're not going to be tricky kind of data points or anything. So the first one, and they're also ranked by the highest level of disparity. So Washington, D.C. ended up having the highest disparity at the last time point at 14, meaning blacks in Washington, D.C. are 14 times more likely to die from HIV compared to whites. And you'll also see kind of a trend in the time periods also where majority of the cities showed in both races that there was a decline in mortality rates over time. And you'll also see kind of as you go along all of these graphs that the black rate, all of the rates declined, but the white rate declined at a faster pace usually. So we'll start with D.C., and I just talked about that one. And the next one is Memphis. Although the mortality rates are lower in Memphis, Memphis had the only city out of the 10 that we looked at that had an increase in mortality rates for any subgroup. So that affected the black population. So they were the only city that had an increase in mortality due to HIV. But again, that disparity increased quite a bit from 1.36 to 7.23. The next worst is Baltimore. So the disparities were quite high from both time points. So in the very first time point, the disparity was 4.12, and then it ended, even though the rates declined, at 6.54. This is New York City. Again, another city with a very high disparity. The rate ratio in the first time point was 2.85, and again, although the rates declined, similar to the other cities, the rate ratio increased to 6.46. The next is Chicago. Chicago's a little unique. The rates are much lower, but Chicago had the lowest mortality rates for both blacks and whites in all of the cities we looked at. So the rate ratio was a little closer together at the first time point, but because the white rate decreased at a faster pace, the disparity increased quite a bit to 5.79. Philadelphia's next. Again, the rate ratio is a little high in the beginning, but it jumped quite a bit because the white rate. But actually, the black and the white rate declined at around the same level, but the disparity did increase. Houston had very similar death rates in the beginning, in 1990 to 94. So the rate ratio was almost identical at one. Whereas the white rate declined so quick, the white rate declined so quickly, the disparity increased to four. And here is Los Angeles, a lower disparity at the first time point, and then it jumped to 3.88 at the last time point, again because the white rate declined at a faster pace. And the next two cities kind of look like this, where there's actually a crossover where the white rate was higher. So this is Atlanta. The white rate was higher at the first time point, and then it dropped very, very quickly for the whites, but less so in the black population. And it went from the whites having a higher mortality than the blacks at this first time point to a disparity now of 3.84 at the last time point. And then New Orleans, the last city, has this very similar graph. The rates are lower, but the same phenomenon happened in New Orleans. And again, you can see that the white rate declines much, much faster than the blacks. So to summarize these rates, you can see that at every time point and for every city examined, the rates decreased for both racial groups, with the exception, of course, of Memphis, who had an increase in mortality for blacks. And then, of course, the rates for whites declined at a faster pace compared to blacks. And again, Memphis is different. What this means is that the disparities in HIV mortality are increasing. So this is the all of the cities that were included, including the United States. Washington, D.C. was the only city that had a higher rate ratio than the United States. Everyone else kind of, they're ranked in order of the high disparity at D.C. to the low disparity, or lower, we'll say, in New Orleans, still quite high, at the last time point. And you can kind of see, so I'm going to split these up by the highest and the lowest disparity so you can get a closer look at the rates. So these are the five worst disparities. I mean, they're all pretty bad, but this is the grouping of the highest disparities in the 10 we looked at. Washington, D.C., Memphis, Baltimore, New York, Chicago. I included the United States so you can see how different that is from all of the cities compared to the U.S. But also you can see that there's quite a bit of variation even at the worst disparities. And then these are the five cities with the lowest disparities, but they're still pretty high. So the summary of the rate ratios is that the black-white rate ratios increased between T1 and T4. A faster decline in mortality rates occurred among whites. And then the rate ratios varied quite a bit from Washington, D.C. at the highest disparity at 14 times higher for blacks compared to whites versus New Orleans at the lowest disparity, but it was still high at 3 times higher for blacks than whites. And the main findings are that over this 20-year time period, the HIV mortality disparities have actually worsened in all of these cities. All of the rate ratios for every city and every population are significantly greater than one. And the disparities have widened mainly because the black rates have declined at a slower pace than the whites, with, of course, that Memphis exception where the black rate increased. And then, of course, as you saw from all of the tables, that there are significant variation between these cities and the level of disparity. So why do the disparities exist? So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the availability of resources and surveillance in some of these cities to just kind of get a sense of why there's so much variation between these cities. So what I did was I looked at the health department's reports and availability of things like that on their website. So I looked for screening programs, for PrEP programs, for anything that could kind of look for a possible explanation as to why blacks suffer the higher mortality burden. I also looked at some of the state laws, not just the testing laws, but there's other laws on prevention efforts that I included as well, such as needle exchange programs, which has been hugely effective in certain cities. And then I also looked at resources for people living with HIV or AIDS, such as housing opportunities and treatment availability for people who have been diagnosed. So I'll start with the demographics. Cities with both the highest and the lowest disparities have a very similar population of, or proportion of black population in those cities. So race probably isn't the reason why, you know, just having a city that's maybe more black might be a cause for that. It just didn't seem to make any sense. But there was a lot of poverty in these cities. They all had similar poverty levels, ranging from 15% in New York City to 27% in tied in Memphis, Philadelphia, New Orleans. And then in every city, in all of the 10 cities, the blacks were more likely to live in poverty in all of those cities. And the highest disparity in poverty was in D.C., which happens to be have the worst disparity. And then Atlanta, which is one of the better disparities, and then Houston. I also looked at what the cities are doing as far as considering HIV as a health priority or main topic for either the city to for prevention efforts or the health department to kind of focus their attention on. DC, again, has the highest disparity. They're sort of in the planning process of figuring out what their health priorities are for the city. So I couldn't find anything on that, but the past priorities were on case finding or testing to find the to kind of shrink down that level of unknown positives. Memphis, that had the second highest disparity, they actually did a community survey to see what the community felt were important health factors that we should be focusing on in that city. The community said HIV was an important priority, but the city did not include that as one of their top priorities. So they looked at more kind of general health things that also could influence HIV, but it's, you know, it's more encompassing of all of the population. And then in Philadelphia, had the sixth highest disparity. HIV was part of the health department's strategic plan, but not for the city. Again, they were focused more on mental health, access to care. None of it was just centered around HIV specifically. Then I looked at the surveillance reports available. Interestingly, across all of the cities, at least at the most recent time point, the risk groups were very similar across all the cities, with a couple exceptions. Los Angeles had a very high MSM, men who have sex with men, population, so that was kind of driving their epidemic in LA. New York City has an extremely high immigrant population, so they do a lot of targeted things focused on immigrants in New York. And in Baltimore, which is probably the best example of how well needle exchange programs work, is they had a very early injection drug use population, or IDUs, but it significantly decreased once the needle exchanges became very popular, and they were hugely effective, and now there's barely any transmission from injection drug use there, and it's now more standard MSM and heterosexual contact. All of the cities have higher rates for non-Hispanic blacks for new diagnoses of HIV. Memphis and Baltimore have the largest disparities in both HIV and AIDS diagnoses. And Memphis has the highest disparity in HIV and AIDS prevalence, where blacks are 6 times more likely to have either HIV or AIDS compared to whites. And they have a similar mortality disparity. Some of the clinical outcomes in the HIV world, we're not only looking at mortality, but we're looking at how well the medical system is working for the patients who are positive. So one of the measures is whether someone has a late diagnosis or they're diagnosed with AIDS within 12 months of the initial diagnosis or at diagnosis. They're considered late diagnoses. And DC reported that more than half of their HIV diagnoses are considered late diagnoses, which means there's a very high proportion of AIDS in the positives in that city. But most of the cities had very similar outcomes. The highest for the percent undiagnosed was highest in DC and Houston. They were tied at 21%, and it was the lowest in New York and Chicago, tied at 14%. And viral suppression, which is one of the main clinical markers for a successful treatment for HIV, it was highest in Los Angeles, suggesting that 81% of those on treatment were virally suppressed, and it was lowest in Baltimore at 27%. Then I sort of looked at some of the other factors, like the laws available for, which might kind of inhibit some prevention efforts. The first one I'm going to talk about are condom availability, which I found is very interesting, that in New Orleans, carrying condoms is a reason to arrest for prostitution. So if someone's carrying condoms, they're a suspect for prostitution. which makes, you know, telling people to wear condoms is a very challenging thing because they're now afraid of getting arrested. Needle exchanges are illegal in a lot of these states, which then influences the cities. In Texas, they just rejected trying to overturn the ban on needle exchange programs, so they are still illegal in the entire state of Texas. Memphis, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, they have laws at the state level, but they're not enforced at the city. So the police and the needle exchanges have just an understanding that they're kind of working together on making sure that people are not infected with HIV because of needles. And then in New Orleans, it's actually illegal to carry needles without a prescription, but the clinicians seem to be protected on distributing them. So it's an interesting kind of way of dealing with the needles, the needle exchanges. And then there's a lot of wait lists. So a lot of people in the HIV world feel that housing is part of the treatment. If you want unstable housing, you can't maintain your treatment. It's very hard. So there's a lot of wait lists for housing in every city. So it's very hard to get housing when you have HIV or AIDS. And then the ADAPs, which is the AIDS Drug Assistance Programs, have a wait list only in one city, which is great. But unfortunately, because of strange budget problems, especially in our state in Illinois, they are considering putting wait lists in, they're starting to enforce or potentially put them in place, which could cause a big problem because a lot of people with HIV rely on the ADAP program for their meds. So in conclusion, racial disparities in HIV mortality are increasing despite decreasing mortality rates. Surveillance is very important. I'll just mention DC kind of briefly. They really just started putting out reports publicly in around 2006, 2007. So the people trying to plan for what was going on in DC, they just didn't have any data available to them to determine where they should be targeting these efforts. The continuum measures are rarely, those are those clinical measures, they're rarely kind of subcategorized by race or ethnicity, so it's really hard to see if there's disparities in the continuum measure or if treatment is favoring someone over another. And then politics seem to be interfering with a lot of prevention efforts. We can say we want to do needle exchanges and condom distribution and treatment funding, but if the politicians say no, then it's a lot harder for the people to kind of adopt those prevention efforts. But there may be some other causal factors that we'll look into or consider. One is the early local response to the epidemic, such as Los Angeles and New York responded very quickly in comparison to some of the other cities, so there might be something to that. There, like I said, there could be racial disparities in the continuum measure or how well treatment is being distributed between racial groups. There's also marginalization, segregation, and poverty that have been mentioned as some of the causes for these disparities in HIV. Stigma is a big problem in the HIV community, so it's definitely could play a part in accessing treatment, going to treatment, knowing you're positive and maybe just being kind of uncomfortable going into an infectious disease or HIV clinic. And then access to care, we know, is a big problem across most diseases, but as the as we start kind of taking away some of this funding for life-saving medicines, then you're decreasing access because of that. And that's it. Thank you.
We're kind of running short on time, unless we have one quick question. Okay, quick question.
I'm just curious that you want to look at. And then we see that increase. And so I think that there can't be any discussion on racial
Yeah, that's a good point. We're going to add that to the list. And also, mental health is another problem that we're going to be looking into also, and availability of clinics or access to clinics that have specialty care, things like that in those cities too. So thanks.
Thank you.